Thank you for listening to Haunted Texas and Beyond, brought to you by Austin Ghost Tours at austinghosttours.com and renegaderadio.net. This is part one of a story that takes four podcasts to tell. It begins with my interview with Gail Gillum, who is an intuitive. Good morning. This is a podcast for Austin Ghost Tours. And today we're going to be visiting with a psychic person, or we'll talk a little bit about labels. So when I want to go back to when we talk about the word psychic. So, like, it's a highly charged word. And if you look at what the definition is, it means phenomena that is unexplainable by natural law, often involving telepathy and clairvoyance. So basically, it's anything that you really, it's not something you can explain. It's information or knowledge or visions or feelings. And I know that you are many things. And that word is just a tough word, because it makes people...
Well, I kind of want to take it back in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
that's
what
it
is. What
would you call yourself?
I mainly call myself intuitive.
Intuitive.
But when you hear the word psychic, maybe intuitive too, but you get people who are like, oh.
Yes.
You know, they don't know how to handle that word. And so, you know, you try to bring them along and say, you too are probably an intuitive or a psychic at some point in your life.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And I will say that I do believe all human beings have the ability to pull in our other senses that are very powerful. Mm-hmm. But we've been so dumbed down by having to make money, having to have clothing, and having to have food, because if we don't have them, we won't survive. So we are preoccupied all the time with just basic survival. So all of this is dumbed down. So I think anybody who wants to really bring that out can do that. But how did you, when you were young, how did it manifest itself, this ability to kind of tap into the invisible?
Well, my first memory probably really is more of a dream that my uncle came to me. He had passed on, and he had say, hey, I was like 8 months in my mom's tummy when he came, you know, when he died. He
yeah.
was 12. But anyway, and I never met him, of course.
Your uncle was 12?
Yes. At the
okay,
time
so he was
of
a child.
His death. He was a child, yeah.
And your mother was pregnant, and it was
with
her
me.
Son.
It was me she was pregnant with. It was her brother.
It was her brother. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Her brother.
Oh, and okay. So anyway, he comes to me very vividly, and he tells me about what happens after you die. And he tells me how wonderful it is, and don't be afraid. It's great, and blah, 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 blah. Well, I wake up, and I tell my mom this. And then all of a sudden, you know, of course, she's like, oh, dear. You know? That's nice.
Aw.
But anyway, then other things start coming to me. I could predict things that would happen beforehand.
Give me an example.
Let's see. Like my grandfather, I knew he was going to die. And I left my favorite doll with him. And he put it on the shelf, and I knew I'd never see him again. And I never did. And he passed. And, you know, off the cuff, it's kind of normal. I mean, you know, you
so
don't care
that is what I know to be true, which for you, you have only been in your mind.
Right.
So for you, it's like, oh, yep, there it is. This is going to And so I think everyone has that as well, but we just don't listen. But somehow you regain the ability to listen. And so that's what it looked like for you as a child. And then when did you own it? Because a lot of people who have those experiences just think it and never say it or whatever, but then you owned it.
Well, I owned it late in life. I knew my husband knew, and I knew, but I didn't out myself to anyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, because you've learned, well, I did. I learned the circles I was running in. You know, you still talk about things like that, you know, and I knew that, oh, okay. But then once you hit your 40s, it's like...
Those mad
magic year. Right.
It's like, okay, people, game over. Yeah. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I am who I am. And so really it's after my 40s I started to really claiming it and paying attention to it. I got my children pretty much raised, and I wasn't involved in all this stuff. I could just focus on me and what was happening around me. And even though it was still happening, you know, I just like didn't even talk about it really.
So I love that I love that we're using the term out, coming out with this ability mm-hmm. that you have, because it really is in the world that you walk in. Where is there a place to say, you know, I knew that. I nailed that about 2 weeks ago.
Right. Yeah, sure you did.
Yeah. it's a weird thing. I think people are afraid because people have secrets. And then to think that someone can know what you're not saying or something.
Well, they're afraid that you can read their mind, a lot of people. I'm like, I promise you, I cannot read your mind.
Yeah.
I know what your grandmother did.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't read your mind
like
right
all
now.
All the secrets that we hide. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
But to answer your question a little further, I became a Reiki master. And I just started out thinking, okay, I'm going to get back to society, and Reiki is a healing modality, so I'm going to do this. And so, you know, I was really excited about doing it, and then all of a sudden this psychic thing started happening, like zeroing in on my clients when they would come to me. And I didn't really like it at that point, because I think, hey, that's not what I signed up for.
And when you did sign up for Reiki, what was that? How do you describe what is Reiki?
Well, it's a healing modality. It's many things. You're going, through your chakras. You're laying your hands on or above a person. It's a time of a very quiet relaxation. You're a Reiki master, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So, you know, you're just doing your thing there. And I guess I just didn't. I had to finally ask my clients, I would say, do you want me to add this aspect that I'm getting about you as you're here with me? And everyone said yes. And then it became more of that. And I was trying to, I said, well, let's move back a little bit, because I really want to do the Reiki. I incorporated both. But it really went more into the intuitive end. And but Reiki's still there. But you know, there was a woman with me, and I spent 20 minutes. I couldn't go beyond her heart chakra, and I said, you know, there's something that you're taking that you shouldn't be taking. And she, oh no, I'm good. I'm very healthy. 20 minutes of arguing with this poor lady. Finally, she admits she's taking diet pills, and she has a heart condition, and her doctor told her don't ever take diet pills. And so, you know, we finally got through it, and I could move on. But, you know, it's almost a medical intuitiveness. At that time, they're on my table also. Even my son-in-law, who totally does not believe in this, but he's okay. I'm going to get on your table, you know, laughing. And then I went down to his shin, and I could feel this area. I said, you've got an area here. Something's happened here. And his eyes got real wide. He goes, I didn't even tell my daughter Beth about that, he said. She has an old football injury. I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe you need to do some stretches or whatever. But so for some reason that comes in there too. And anyway.
So I totally can understand why doing Reiki would charge this part of you. This first, you've mm-hmm. accepted it, and mm-hmm. you're not pushing it away. And energy healing is Reiki. Reiki is really
right.
Taking your energy and their energy and trying to kind of, you know, use that to, you know, feel this person. And I can totally see how you would, because of your intuitive tendencies, mm-hmm. would start picking up on other things, which are really relevant to Reiki, because
right.
it's energy that we, you know, hold. But, so, that's very interesting. And so then that became more of the emphasis, because I guess it was louder.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind,
yeah,
it was louder.
That's true. Yeah.
And so does any story come to mind, or any other things you want to share about when you are having an intuitive experience with someone who's who's trying to find out things about themselves that they really do know, but they can't bring into their full consciousness, because we all know. We know about our knee. We know mm-hmm. about our heart. You know, and it's these secrets, this is what I was saying, the secret. We keep these things, we know, we can know. And then it's like, I do know, but...
Well, it turns into a counseling session also.
Yes.
So people come to you, and they don't want to tell you the things that have gone on before they've actually walked yeah. through your door. You know, they can have a big smile on their face, but maybe they've had this huge argument. For example, I had one lady that came, and she's just a terrific lady, love her, smiley, wonderful nurse, and she laid down, and I immediately put my hands in. Boy, I could hear the screaming and, you know, this fights with her daughters. And, you know, it's a very touchy subject to have to, you don't want to say, you know, you've done this, they've done this, because, you know, people, it's personal. But, you know, you have to say it in a way that if you can bring them along, if they don't want to talk about it, that's fine, and you move on. But you give them that open to talk about things. And so I said, you know, I feel like you're stressed, and maybe, you know, you've probably had a situation, blah, blah, where, you know, you had some words, and then she just started crying, you know, and then she opened up about her daughters, and, you know, teenage daughters.
Oh, God, they're the worst. I don't think we should coexist with them ever. They should go off somewhere to the teenage farm for teenagers.
They could have their own planet.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, you know, you gave her
can't look at them, can't yeah. talk to them. Stop. Speed them and walk away.
So they gave her an opportunity that she had to get something off her chest about her daughters and realize, you know, I'm not alone. You know, I can relate to having situations with my daughter, and it all comes out in the wash. You know, mm-hmm. you're just in the moment. Mm-hmm. And so you de-stress. You help mm-hmm. to de-stress a person. And in fact, her husband used to come to me, and we wouldn't get anywhere. He would be asleep within 5 minutes. And so I thought, that's okay. He's just getting this energy. He's resting. This is what he needs. And so I just let him sleep for an hour. You know? And gently wake him up.
Yeah. Okay. And so. Start, get some knitting.
Right. But one of the things that even my mother-in-law, you know, she's not really a believer in all this, but she just wanted to see what I was doing. And, she, you know, at the time she was in her 90s. And, so I did Reiki on her, and it's hard to remember what we really talked about, but the thing I took from that is that in my mind, I know this sounds terrible, but I thought, when are you going to cross over? I didn't ask her that. I was just in my mind, I wonder when she's going to cross over. Boom, I see a theater. And just like you would go to watch a movie, and all of her friends were in the J section. I could see the J section, and as it turns out, she has a lot of friends with the name J, last name and first name. But there's this big J section, and they were all had all crossed over, and they're sitting there. And I asked them, "When do you think she's going to join you?" And they put up a M. I'm like, "Wow, that's either March or May." And so the following year, March comes around, and I thought, "Phew, she made it," you know, and then. March, April comes around, and she dies the last day of April. And I thought, wow, I got it wrong. But as it turns out, she didn't die. She died at 12:05, the first day of May. And so it was an M. Not that I care if I'm right or wrong, but it just gives me validation.
Validation. It's the validation. That I'm on. So you'll hear, you heard my beagle in the background give a shout. So that's what that was.
We love dogs and cats.
So it is validation for you. You do want to be validated. And when I have things happen, you might be hearing the beagle in the background on and off, so I just want to address that. Yes, you do want that validation because it's like, oh, okay, yes. So I'd like you to share the ghost story that you have. Related to the Texas State Cemetery?
Well, this is more of a personal thing with me, and to the audience, I'm sure they're thinking, well, okay, whatever. But I have some mentors at the time, lived in Austin, but moved to Thailand, and they're in their 70s. And they wanted to take me to Texas State Cemetery. I'm like, let's go. And they were interested in
Chris Kyle.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, we walk in, and we're in deep talk. You know, we're not paying a bit of attention, but we're walking around. And then, you know, the sun's going down. It's time to go. I'm like, oh, we're so sorry we didn't get to see Chris Kyle. And I walked them to their car, and all of a sudden, I felt this pull. And he goes, I'm over here. Like, it's a, come this way. I'm like, whoa. And I walk back in, and I'm, you know, I didn't really want to go back in because the sun was going down, and I'm not real.
And you walked in by yourself.
By myself.
You just sort of left them.
Of course, it's right there. We walked right past him. It's very close to the entrance. Is it not?
Relatively.
Yeah.
You go past it, the main entrance on Navasota, and you just go down a little sidewalk, and he's right there
right.
on the left, right
well,
by the highway.
I get this impression, and I'm going, like, oh, my gosh, there he is. And I wanted to go get them, but they had already left, so I just stood there. And I really felt a huge presence of Chris Kyle. And the first thing I noticed is that his monument is my kitchen island. It's a pearl, a blue pearl. And I thought, oh, okay, you like that too. it was like, I don't think he just hangs there, but I think he comes there every once in a while. Of course, I wouldn't know 100%, but I get this impression of, you know, he was real sorry for some things, but he was very proud of other things. And I just get this thing that's going on. And I always wanted to go back because I felt like there's some unfinished messages that he wanted to say. And so anyway, I would love to go back and see if I get any pickup there of him.
You have in your mind I think intuitives can be communicated with through many things, like the spirits, the invisible, the feelings, and insects and sounds. And animals. Have you ever had an animal story where something is trying to communicate and uses an animal?
Yes. It was Thanksgiving, and my daughter has a dog, and he's a huge lab. I mean, 135 pounds. This is a big dog. And I was minding my own business. And this dog walks around me and looks at me and intuitively goes, I'm a wolfhound. I'm like, well, good for you. And what was so interesting about this is that if you look up wolfhound, and did I say that right? Because I don't
know. Wolfhound.
Okay. The wolfhound, you'll see photographed many times, they sit in seats like we do. Like, their bottom and their tail would be sitting in a seat, and then their paws are on the floor. And I didn't know this until I looked it up, but that dog sits like that all the time. You know, he just sits like this. And so that's what made me so interested, comparing wolfhound to the way the wolfhound sits. And so this is a wonderful dog. He just recently passed. But it was just like he just said it like that. I'm a wolfhound. Like he wanted his props. Like, you know, I'm a loving lab, but you know what? I'm really a wolfhound. That's where I come from. Hmm. And, of course, you know, I guess it would... You know, 135-pound dog. You know, wolfhounds are very large. And I would go to the Celtic Festival, and you can see some of them there once in a while. But, yeah, I wasn't expecting that one. And there's one more. I had a lady. I did a reading with her on the phone. And as I was talking to her, and I knew nothing about her, because my daughter, it's her friend, and she goes, you know, you just need to talk to her. I'm like, okay. She wouldn't tell me anything that was going on, which I prefer. I don't like to know much about people at all, just their name maybe. But all of a sudden, I started seeing light, and it was flipping, and it was so exciting. And it was to me, the impression was a dog. And it showed me its feet. It just went like this, you know. It kicked its feet up. And I said, well, there's a little dog coming through. And the dog wants you to know that the feet are really good, and it's excited about the feet. And she started to cry. And her dog died of cancer, and it was in its feet. And before its death, it would have to drag, you know, itself. And so the little spirit of the dog let me know that he's fine, and the feet's good.
Don't worry about
it. Yeah, we're good.
So that, and that brings me to, I know it's about time to wrap up, but it brings me to the fact that from, based on my understanding of the bazillion ghost stories that I have heard in my time, I have never had someone convey the message, oh my God, it totally sucks. This is a bad thing.
I don't want to be here.
Get me out. Yeah. I've only ever heard these, what you speak of, which is doing great, man. Sucks for you. You're not here. I mean, and just, so have you ever heard someone say?
No. The only thing I've even close to that, I had a client that I knew there was something in her house that was just horrid. Mm-hmm. And please, you know, get this thing out of your house. And she started thinking, she goes, well, I do have a piece of art that my uncle had. He painted. And he was a serial killer. And I said, well, burn the art, first of all. Don't give it to someone.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't get the impression that even him on the other side, you know, I didn't get that from him, that it was like, oh, I've been an awful person, you know, this is horrible. But all I got was what was left on this earth. You know, everything has, you know, some...
energetic vibration.
Right. And so I guess, who knows what happens when you die. But no, to answer your question, I've never had someone say that to me. But I've always had them say, this is awesome. You know, live your life. Don't worry about the small stuff, so to speak. You know, you too will be here. You know, but it's okay. You know, never had that.
And I have to say, I'm going to echo that in that the majority of people that we know in our lives are okay. Besides people we once dated or were married to, there aren't really evil people. So, that was a joke.
We're all holding our breath.
Okay. I just see it in your eyes. You got that right, sister. But besides those people, I mean, you know, most people don't know a whole lot of serial killers or mass murderers or just really horrible people that are all intent on harming others all the time. So, but it does exist in a very small percentage. And my take on those people is that they do kind of stay on this plane, that their energetic whatever, it doesn't go to that place of the happiness and the joy. They're sort of, you know, stuck in this dense place, but because of themselves.
Right.
Nothing is putting them there. Nothing is saying, you are bad, shame, shame, shame. You're going to be a disembodied person watching the world around you and not being able to engage and miserable. But they are on a low level of not happiness, but they can't
go
anywhere. They're earthbound,
right.
And because...
And that's when you get the
they
horror
know
stories.
What they've, yeah, yes, they right. know that they have done something energetically that's
it.
Really terrible. And they just can't. They won't let themselves because it's just pervasive. It's in them. And those are definitely, I mean, in some places that we can see... I don't think you can send them to the light. I'm going to disagree with all the voices out there listening to this saying, I'll just send them to the light, because it's not our power. It's not us. It's their journey.
Right.
It's their, you know, it's their consequence, and they're the ones that have to get through it. You know what I mean? There's no other person that can come in and say, just go down out of here, you crazy knucklehead. Get up there. You made your mistakes. You've learned. You know, it's something... within that entity that it itself has to find that and it probably won't for quite some time, but that's the consequence of living that life.
That could be a whole topic in itself.
Yeah, right? And it will be a topic. Yeah. I really want to talk about that, because I feel like religion has misled us tremendously in be good or, you know, you're going to go to hell.
I struggle with, you know, knowing what I know.
Yes.
And knowing how I grew up. And, you know, and so I was hoping we could weave, as an individual, we could weave things together, which, you know, you may not be all right on this side, and, you know, maybe it works together in some way that a lot of people don't understand.
You can totally be forgiven for things, mistakes you made.
Right.
Just get some knowledge and humility. It all works out.
Yeah.
But as we end this podcast, is there any story that you have that really strikes you as wow in your world of intuitiveness?
Well, I have many, but I'm going to leave with this.
Okay.
I was called in to San Antonio to go on this property. This lady was renting this house, and odd things were happening. Bad juju. I don't think she told me everything that was happening. She was just frightened. And so I went to her house, and, you know, I got information intuitively. First of all, I knew that her boyfriend was beating her up. And I did get really bold and say, listen, you don't need to stay in a relationship like this. You have a child, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, we go outside, and there's a big barn. And the barn has a fence around it. Whoever, the property, people who own it, do not want anyone going in there. So I thought that was odd. But I was, I wanted to go. I could feel the really bad energy through there. So I went, and my friend was with me, Alan and Suzanne, who were from Thailand. And and my son was there also. And Alan and Jeff jumped the fence and went into the barn. And on the outside of the barn, there are no windows per se. It's just a barn without windows, but a door. But it was locked. Everything was locked down. But somehow they got behind the barn and got in. Well, next thing I hear is, Carla, Carla, do you see it? Do you see it? And I'm looking, and Suzanne's right next to me, and I do see it. There's this big thing that comes right out of the barn. There's no windows. It materializes out of the wood, and it's huge, and it's white. And it's got big wings. I don't know, maybe, I'm not good at math, 12 foot span. It was huge. You can't miss it.
Yes, yes.
And I still remember the bellowing of the wings and the face, and it had like a little body dangling down there. And it bellowed and flew and then disappeared right in front of me. Just gone. And I look at Suzanne like, wow, isn't that amazing? She goes, what? And she sees nothing. I mean, this thing was probably eight feet tall. It's huge. You cannot miss it. So Alan comes around and goes, what did you see? Because he didn't want to tell me what he saw. And I told him, he goes, that's it. And my son was all upset because he didn't see it either. But he was standing right with Alan. So only Alan and I saw it, which was great confirmation that he saw it and I saw it.
And, again, the confirmation, but that is something to point out. Some people see and some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just that. And it's hereditary. It's genetic.
Yeah. My grandmother, my mother, my sister are all psychic, but no one admits to it.
Right.
Me.
Still taboo. All right. Well, this is great. I can't wait to see you again.
Yeah.
And we'll have more discussions. Thank you, and coincidence? I don't think so.
Thank you for listening to Haunted Texas and Beyond, podcast brought to you by Austin Ghost Tours and RenegadeRadio.net. Want to have your own ghostly experience? Sign up for a tour or a paranormal investigation at AustinGhostTours.com. Also, check out more episodes on RenegadeRadio.net, our YouTube channel, and all your favorite podcast platforms, as well as all the extra content on RenegadeRadio.net. See you next time.